and welcome to As We Wait, an in-depth verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. Join pastor and teacher Mike Scanlon of Calvary Chapel, Susanville, California, as he continues the study of the Old Testament book of Exodus. This is the conclusion of a two-part study of Exodus chapters 35 through 38. You have a few moments, so why don't you go grab your Bibles and follow along. Please turn to Exodus chapter 35. As I wait,
I remember being a fairly new pastor, coming out of police work and stuff. I'm the assistant pastor. I'm the admin guy. I'm all kinds of stuff. I wear about 10 hats. One of the hats I would wear would be plumbing. The other hat I'd wear would be gardening. And I remember mowing the yard one day at Calvary Chapel Valley Springs, just resenting it forever. Just, I want to be studying. I want to be doing 100 other things. But there I am. I'm pushing the mower back and forth across the yard. And as I'm grumbling and kind of like, hey, why isn't somebody else volunteering to do this? All that kind of stuff. The Lord asked me, just clear as a bell, who are you doing it for? Well, I'm doing it for you. Well, then smile a little bit. You know, remember who you're serving here. Oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, forgive me. And the Lord knows. And every time you see he there, that's a person. That's somebody that may be serving in an absolute obscurity. But the Lord knows. And he knows our service unto him. It says here that verse 9, the length of one curtain was 20 and 8 cubits, about 42 feet. And the breadth of one curtain was 4 cubits, about 6 feet. And the curtains were all of one size. And he coupled the 5 curtains one to another. And the other 5 curtains he coupled unto another. And he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the selvedge edge or the hemmed edge. And the coupling likewise he made in the uttermost side of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops made he in one curtain. And 50 loops made he in the edge of the curtain, which was in the coupling of the second. The loops held one curtain together to another. And he made 50 tachets, or latches, of gold, and coupled the curtains one unto another with the tachets. And so it became one tabernacle. So what's being made here are the curtains that go around the edges, and basically it's a big tent that's divided up into a couple different areas. There's the holy place, the first part, then there's the Holy of Holies, the part that's set apart in the back where the Ark of the Covenant is going to be. And so all these materials are basically parts of a tent. It's not like the new ones where you just open the pack, throw it out there, boing, and it pops up. It's a lot of different things here. Verse 14, and he made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains he made them. Verse 15, the length of one curtain was 30 cubits, or about 45 feet, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain, about 6 feet. The 11 curtains were of one size. And he coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And he made 50 loops upon the uttermost edge of the curtain in the coupling, and 50 loops made he upon the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And he made 50 tachets of brass to couple the tent together, that it might be one. And he made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of badger skins above that. And he made boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up. Now remember, shittim wood was a very hard wood, very durable, and it was almost completely impervious to insects, to dry rot, those kinds of things. And so they've even found chairs that were made 2,000 years ago that are still intact that they found out in the desert. The leather and the cloth materials were all gone off of it, but the wood is still there. And remember the different metals. We've talked so far about gold and silver and brass. And gold being the metal, if you will, of deity or of royalty. It's the gift of kings. Silver being the metal of redemption. And so the tachet or the clasps are made of gold or of silver and of brass. They change all the time, depending on what layer of the tabernacle they've gotten to. And so there's purpose and meaning behind all these things. And again, you can go back to previous studies and get a lot more, probably a lot more detail than you want, but it's all there. Verse 20. And he made boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. The length of a board was 10 cubits, or 15 feet, and the breadth of a board, 1 cubit and a half, or about 27 inches. One board had 2 tenons, equally distant one from another. Thus did he make them, make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side southward, and 40 sockets of silver he made under the 20 boards. Two sockets under one board for his two tenons, and two sockets under another board for his two tenons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, which is towards the north corner, he made 20 boards. And there are 40 sockets of silver, two sockets under one board and two sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, he made 6 boards. And 2 boards made he for the corners of the tabernacle and the 2 sides. And they were coupled beneath and coupled together at the head thereof to 1 ring. Thus he did to both of them in the both the corners. And there were 8 boards and their sockets between their sockets were 16 sockets of silver under every board, 2 sockets. And so basically you've got all these boards that are flat, they're lined up side by side, and they've got rings in them. They slide rings down the side and down that way. And they basically build the solid walls to the tabernacle. Then they're going to put the different animal skins over the top and cloth down the sides and stuff. And so it'll be kind of a static type structure. Verse 31, and he made bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle and 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the sides westward. And he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from one end to the other, and he overlaid the boards with gold, and made their rings of gold, and to be places for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And with cherubims made he of it cunning work. And he made thereunto 4 pillars of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and cast for them 4 sockets of silver. And he made it hanging for the tabernacle door of blue, and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen of needlework, and the 5 pillars of it with their hooks, and he overlaid their capiters, or chapiters, the capitals basically, and their fillets, or the bands, with gold. But their 5 sockets were of brass. Again, brass being the metal of judgment. Interesting as this whole thing is coming together, the door itself was distinct. There's a door that leads from the courtyard, you know, outside into the courtyard. There's a door that leads from the very opening of the tabernacle into the quote-unquote holy place. Then there's a third door that leads from the holy place to the Holy of Holies. The 3 doors were all very, very similar in appearance and makeup. The same kind of material, same kind of decorations. But they were all very distinct and stood out from everything around it. Whether it was the curtains or around the courtyard, they were white linen. Then you got this bright blue and purple, basically cloth door, and it's embroidered with gold and with the cherubims. Then the same thing going into the holy place and then the Holy of Holies. We know that Jesus is the door, and Jesus is glorious above all things. And so that's why it kind of stands out pretty cool that way. Chapter 37, verse 1. And Bezalel made the ark of shittim wood, 2.5 cubits was the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the breadth of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it. So about 45 inches by 27 inches. And he overlaid it with pure gold within and without, and made a crown of gold round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold to be set by the 4 corners thereof, even 2 rings upon one side of it and 2 rings upon the other side of it. And he made staves or carrying sticks of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. And he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark to bear the ark. And the mercy seat of gold, of pure gold, 2.5 cubits was the length thereof, 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold, beaten out of 1 piece made he them, on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. 1 cherub on the end on his side, another cherub on the other end on that side. Out of the mercy seat he made he the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. So you've got the ark, which is basically a wooden box overlaid with gold. Then you've got the mercy seat, which is like the lid. Then on the lid, they've got these 2 cherubims or angels that face each other, and their wings extend forward in part and then downward in part. Notice that everything's covered in gold. It's like, whoa, this is kind of an expensive endeavor here. And you think about the tabernacle in itself. On the outside, it probably looked pretty ugly. Badger skins or seal skins and goat's hair and all this kind of stuff. It's just big. Actually, it's not that big. It's probably about as big as this room. It's 45 feet long. It's 15 feet wide. It's about 15 feet tall, maybe 1 foot or 2 taller than this ceiling. And so it's not gigantic, but from the outside, it couldn't have looked too impressive. But on the inside, man, it's all covered in gold. The furnishings are gold. It's glorious in appearance. Think about Jesus. Isaiah tells us there was nothing on the outside that made him look like anything special. He was not distinguishable. That's why Judas had to betray him with a kiss, because they wouldn't have known who to get. And so on the outside, his human body, Jesus just looked like an ordinary guy. Nothing special. But on the inside, whoa, the glory of God. And we see the same thing kind of represented here in the construction. Verse 11, and he overlaid it with pure gold and made thereunto a crown of gold round about. And also he made thereunto a border of a handbreadth round about and made a crown of gold from the border thereof round about. And he cast for it four rings of gold and put the rings upon the four corners that were in the 4 feet thereof over against the border. You know, I think I skipped some. Yeah, skip verse 10. And he made a table of shittim wood, and this is the table of showbread. 2 cubits was the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and made thereunto a crown of gold round about. And he made thereunto a border of a handbreadth, meaning in the 4 feet thereof, or the four corners. Over against the border were the rings, the places for the staves to bear the table. This is the table of showbread. It's a small table they had set up, and upon that they put 12 loaves of bread, each loaf representing a tribe of Israel. And that bread would be rotated on a very frequent, regular basis. Fresh bread would be brought in, the old bread would be taken out, and then that would be eaten essentially by the priests. But when you think about it, the showbread, the bread of life, our Lord Jesus, again, another representation of our Lord. And he made staves of shittim wood, verse 15, and overlaid them with gold to bear the table. Verse 16, and he made the vessels which were upon the table, his dishes and his spoons and his bowls and his covers, to cover withal of pure gold. Verse 17, and he made the candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work. What that means is they took one chunk of gold and somebody got out a hammer and they started beating that thing and shaping it to where they finally got the menorah, the candlestick. And that was the only source of light within the tabernacle itself. And we get back to, well, Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. And so, again, another representation of Jesus. It says that of beaten work made he the candlestick. His shaft and his branch, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers were of the same. And 6 branches going out of the sides thereof, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. 3 bowls made after the fashion of almonds, in 1 branch, a knop and a flower, and 3 bowls like almonds, in another branch, a knop and a flower. So through the 6 branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick were 4 bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches going out of it. Their knops and their branches were of the same. All of it was of 1 beaten work of pure gold. And he made his 7 lamps and his snuffers and his snuff dishes of pure gold. In other words, the things they used to trim the wicks and to take care of it and maintain it were all made of pure gold as well. Of a talent of pure gold made he it. A talent is 75.6 pounds. That's a lot of gold. And all the vessels thereof. And he made the incense altar of shittim wood. The length of it was a cubit. Again, the altar of incense was something that stood just before the door between the holy place and the holy of holies. So as the priest would burn incense, which represents the prayer of the saints, as he's burning incense on that altar, what's he looking at? He's looking at the door that leads into the holy of holies. Again, that reminder of Jesus interceding on our behalf. He made the incense altar, verse 25, of shittim wood. The length of it was a cubit, and the breadth of it a cubit. It was 4 square, and 2 cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were on the same. And he overlaid it with pure gold, both the top of it and the sides thereof round about. And the horns of it he also made unto it a crown of gold round about. And he made 2 rings of gold under it for the crown thereof, by the corners of it upon the sides thereof, to be places for the staves to bear it withal. And he made the staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold. And he made the holy anointing oil, and the pure incense of sweet spices, according to the work of the apothecary. Interesting to note that the things that are actually inside the tabernacle, whether it's the holy place or the holy of holies, if you notice that it's all gold, it's all royalty, deity, if you will, you know, as gold represents that. as we move outside the tabernacle, you're going to see that there's things of silver, which represents redemption. And you're going to see that the major pieces, the altar and stuff like that, the laver, they're all made of brass. Okay, it represents judgment, like our sins being judged. It represents purging or cleansing, a lot of things like that. But there's a distinction between what's inside and what's outside. Kingdom of heaven. We don't get in until we've been cleansed. We don't get in until we've been made righteous, born again of the Spirit, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Then once we get in, we're in. What a cool thing that is. Chapter 38. And he made the altar of burnt offering of shittim wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof. It was 4 square, and 3 cubits the height thereof. So about 7.5, 8 feet by about 4 feet. And he made the horns thereof on the corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same, and he overlaid it with brass. And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots and the shovels and the basins, and the flesh hooks and the fire pans, all the vessels thereof made he of brass. And he made for the altar a brazen grate of network under the compass, the rim of it, therefore beneath unto the midst of it. Basically, you got a frame, and then they put a grate down in the middle of it, which looks a lot like a barbecue. Then they build a fire into that. They put the sacrifices on top. They're consumed by the fire. That's how that would work. Verse 5. And he cast 4 rings for the 4 ends of the grate of brass to be places for the staves. And he made the staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with brass. And he put the staves into the rings on the sides of the altar to bear it withal. And he made the altar hollow with boards. And he made the laver of brass, again that place to wash, and at the foot of it, of brass. Again, the laver was a place to wash, to be cleansed. And we go right back to John chapter 15, verse 3, where Jesus says, "You're washed by the word which I've spoken unto you." And it's the same as Paul writes in Ephesians 5, where he talks about the washing by the word. The husband washes the bride. It says that also in the foot of the brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is the first time it kind of mentions that, hey, here's where the brass came from specifically. And it was made up of the women's mirrors, their looking glasses. They would take these brass sheets, if you will, and polish them real good so that you could see your image in it. I don't know why, but this kind of reminds me of when Jesus had his feet anointed with oil and Mary took her hair and wiped his feet. She gave up her glory. She gave up her vanity, if you will, all those kinds of things, and these women are giving up their looking glasses, their mirrors. That was a big deal. Verse 9, and he made the court on the south side southward. The hangings of the court were fine twine linen, 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20, and their brazen sockets 20, brazen meaning brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets or bands were of silver. And for the north side of the hangings were 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20, and their sockets of brass 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the west side were hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10, and their sockets 10. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the east side, eastward, 50 cubits. The hanging of the one side of the gate were 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And for the other side of the court gate, on this hand and on that hand were hangings of 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. All the hangings of the court round about were of fine twined linen. And the sockets for the pillars were of brass, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters of silver, and all the pillars of the court were filleted with silver. And the hanging for the gate of the court was needlework of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And 20 cubits was the length, and the height and the breadth was 5 cubits, answerable to the hangings of the court. And their pillars were 4, and the sockets of brass 4. Their hooks of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters, and their fillets of silver, and all the pins of the tabernacle and of the court round about were of brass. Verse 21. This is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted according to the commandment of Moses, for the services, or the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ithamar, son to Aaron the priest. All these things, as they're made and manufactured, they're then turned over to the priests who are going to take care of it, maintain it, and transport it. And so we see an accounting there. Then in verse 22, and Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, the son of Ahijamak, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver, and a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue, and in purple, and in scarlet, and fine linen. All the gold that was occupied for the work, in all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. I mentioned earlier that a talent was 75.6 pounds. And so here we have 29 talents, and then you've got 730 shekels, which is like the change. And so altogether, that's 2,210.78 pounds of gold. Figure that at about $1,200 an ounce. I can tell when my Bible was first published because it said that's all together, that's worth about $5,500. Actually, I checked this morning on the internet. At today's rate, that's $39,157,335.36. That's a lot of change. Verse 25, and the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,703.15 shekels, or 1,775 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. And that all comes out to 7,604.7 pounds. And silver is a lot less expensive, $17 an ounce. So that's $2 million, $2,066,000. Again, that's a lot of stuff to lug around the desert. Verse 26, a beka for every man that is a half shekel. This is the temple tax or the tabernacle tax, if you will, after the shekel of the sanctuary for everyone that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward for 600,000, 3,550 men. And the 100 talents of silver were cast, and of the silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil and 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their chapiters and filleted them, the silver bands around the poles. Verse 29, and the brass of the offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels, which comes out to 5,352 pounds. And I couldn't get a price on brass. All you reloaders know it's expensive, but not like gold. And therewith he made the sockets of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and the brazen altar and the brazen gate for it and all the vessels of the altar and all the sockets of the court round about and the sockets of the court gate and all the pins of the tabernacle and all the pins of the court round about. A lot of detail. And I just kind of rattled it off kind of quick. Again, we went over this in a lot of detail in previous studies. But it's interesting to me that ours is the God of detail. He cares about the big things in our lives, but he also cares about the small things, the details. And sometimes we're prone to thinking, oh, that's not a big deal. But you know what? There are things in life that are a big deal. And one of the reasons why I made it a point to read through this, I think verbatim, is because God's word is important. We value God's word. We reverence God's word. And we know that God could have skipped a couple chapters too. If he didn't want us to think it was that important, he could have just, in a sense, skipped from chapter 34 right on to chapter 40. And so it's all here for a reason. Again, I look at the review of it, and I've enjoyed going back myself and reviewing a lot of these things in my own mind and heart. But we're told in Scripture that don't despise the day of small things. And to be careful, to pay attention to the details of our lives, even maybe some of the most basic things. What are some of the most basic things in Christianity? If we want to be a strong Christian, I fall back in the same things in counseling. I fall back in the same things when I look in the mirror in the morning and have to kind of judge myself. That I want to spend time in God's Word. I want to spend time giving Him the ability, if you will, to speak to me through His Word. I want to be devoted. I want to be a workman. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I want more faith. And so those are some of the details that we need to kind of pay attention to. Communion with God. Time spent just in prayer. Communing, talking with God, and giving Him honestly the time to talk to us. And then fellowship. Being in fellowship. Not forsaking the gathering together as some do. These are just kind of basic things. And then serving, giving. Not just giving money, but giving of ourselves, giving of our time and of our talents, if you will. There's a lot in this, and there's a lot we can take home with us. And what it all adds up to, honestly, is a closer relationship with the Lord. It is, notice as God stirs up his people, all of a sudden they want to give, they want to serve, they want to do. And we're not saved by doing, but it's certainly good evidence that something has happened on the inside. And God wants that as well. Gracious Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God of details. And as much as we've kind of cruised through this, Father, I pray that you would help us to meditate in it, to consider it, to think it through more carefully, and that you would work it out in our lives in such a way that you'd be glorified. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm here
to find you. Well, that's all the time we have for now. You've just been listening to pastor and teacher Mike Scanlon of Calvary Chapel, Susanville, California, teaching the conclusion of a two-part in-depth study of Exodus chapters 35 through 38. Please join us again next time as we continue our study through the book of Exodus and through the entire Bible. As We Wait is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Susanville, California. We pray that you are blessed, and we'd like to invite you to join us in person. Calvary Chapel meets at 450 Richmond Road on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock, 9:45, and 11:30. Our Wednesday evening service begins at 7, and communion is celebrated the first Sunday of each month at 6 p.m. To get the entire study on CD, please call the church office at 530-257-4833. And if you've made a profession of faith and would like more information on what it is to walk with Jesus or want to know how to grow in your faith, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at P.O. Box 1316, Susanville, California, 96130. All our services are streamed live on the web at www.ccsusanville.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.